You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we welcome you into another edition of Locked On Kings as we start a new week of podcasts each and every day, Monday through Friday here with you on the Locked On Network. Check out the entirety of the network, though, especially after a busy football weekend. Get your latest on your NFL team, whether it's the Niners or the Raiders. We've got Locked On every team in the NFL, but check them all out. Also, all the NBA, now that the NBA regular season is almost here, check out the entirety of the network. Today on the podcast, it's actually a busy week for the Sacramento Kings as far as preseason games go. We'll recap what happened in the weekend and look at the week ahead for the Sacramento Kings. Let's backtrack, though, to Friday. The last time the Sacramento Kings were scheduled to have a game, obviously, they were taking on the San Antonio Spurs. They had played them earlier in the week, a game that was at Golden 1 Center. The Kings won that one. Going into the second game, all we really knew about the Kings' setup for that one is that the veterans were going to rest. We weren't going to see Randolph, Costa Kufis, George Hill, Vince Carter, or Garrett Temple. That was all we knew going into the game. It would be an opportunity for some of the younger players to take on a veteran San Antonio team on the road, and here's a little bit how it played out.
Neal with a nice adjustment, crossover move, right to left, scores with the left hand that time. Buddy Hield is showing us, Grant, a lot of versatility in this first quarter on the offensive end.
He's been the best player on the floor for both teams. He's been awesome to watch.
Bertans fires for three. It's no good. Frank Mason in there to lead the Kings in rebounding. He's the smallest man on the floor. Gets into the paint. Ball deflected. He grabs it back. He converts it on the right side of the lane. Good job by Frank Mason. I like Frank Mason, Grant, from what I've saw of him in practice and in that first preseason game.
Well, I love Frank Mason.
So we got a fan club going here, Frank. Here's Calabissiere. Shakes once, spins for the fall away. Right on target.
So smooth, Gary.
He is just fluid, isn't he? Fun to watch Scal in his second NBA season. The big Haitian pow swings the ball toward the left baseline and a drive and a throwdown. That time off the dribble by Rudy Gay. Well, that'll tell you right there with that kind of explosiveness on that move that Achilles is feeling real good. And Rudy had to enjoy that, as did the Spurs fans. Kings have De'Aaron Fox now starting left, then goes right, finds the seam into the paint, dumps it on top to Labissiere, to Buddy Hield, slashes, drive and kick. Fox will go for three and score the triple. De'Aaron Fox knocking down the three ball, only the third one the Kings have made in nine attempts. Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox, and Calabissiere have each hit three-pointers.
Well, I would say this. In this game, the Sacramento Kings played okay. It actually kind of got away from them on the deeper part of the bench in the second half. I thought they were hanging with the Spurs. The starting lineup in game two of the preseason ended up being De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Malachi Richardson, Calabissiere, and Willie Cauley-Stein. That group stayed in the game for the majority of the first half. Second half, it just started to slip on the Sacramento Kings. And like I said, it was the bench, the deeper part of the bench, that really let it unravel. But you heard in there, besides the Rudy Gay highlight, all other Kings moments, but Willie had 14. He led them in scoring. I think he had 14 and 9. You had 13 points for Scal, 12 for De'Aaron Fox, 12 for Buddy Hield. A couple of highlights from all those guys that made some points of emphasis for them and some intriguing plays for the Sacramento Kings. Spurs, for what it's worth, in that game, they had 20 from Danny Green. It was good to see Rudy Gay play. Played about 20 minutes, had a couple of baskets, including the highlight we played. But it just, when it got to the benches, San Antonio's bench was far better than the Kings' bench, and the Spurs ended up winning the game 113-93. So it was a game that kind of got away from the Kings. Again, I'll say it and I'll say it again. We don't really get caught up too much in preseason scores and records. Kings won the first one, lost the second one, so they were 1-1 after two games of the preseason. That leads us then to Sunday, when the Sacramento Kings were in Vegas to take on the Lakers. Before that game, Coach Dave Yeager kind of recapped the Spurs game, looked ahead to the Laker game with the G-man, Gary Gerald.
Coach, a couple of nights ago in San Antonio, seemed like the Spurs successfully took a very physical approach to that ball game. How do you envision what looks like it might be an ongoing challenge of matching physicality with your young guys?
Well, we have a deficit as far as size, and not just necessarily that height-wise, but girth-wise. You know, bodies are young, and it can take some time to develop. Our strength and conditioning staff does a great job, and it's more than just pumping iron. It's just growing up and letting your body mature, and then also all the tricks, learning how to set a guy up to get where you want to actually get the ball. You can't just stand there because, you know, it's not going to happen. But you set a guy up, you go into him body to body, we get the pass where we want, then we get our cutting game going, and we get our pick and roll game going. And so it was a good learning experience. And also, you know, for the first time, having put all of our stuff in, which is not all in, we saw a team that was, we just played. And so now you have to make, you have to read. They're going to take some things away from you. And so I thought, as a learning tool, it was just fantastic for us.
When it comes to teaching those tricks, is that a time-consuming process? I mean, I'm assuming that it's not something that can be accomplished in a matter of a couple of practice sessions or even a couple of weeks or maybe even months.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's a lot of video with coaches. And, you know, if everything stuck the first time, everybody would be really good in 3 months, you know. So there's a reason that it takes, you know, 3 or 4 years for a guy to become a, you know, an effective professional basketball player. So it's just, you know, reminders of, hey, you know, took off a little too early to get this cut going, or, you know, this or that from our coaches, and then also from teammates and teammates that have been through it before, and, you know, what a guy is doing to you in the pick and roll or any other action. So it is just experience.
Can you accelerate at all the process of, you know, getting that girth that you talk about in terms of adding muscle, workouts, et cetera?
Yeah, like I said, our guys are working hard, and they got a lot going at them. Their brains are often full. And so, you know, we try to condition them as much as possible. But yet, you know, if you spent all day in the weight room, then you wouldn't be able to run up and down. You know, you have to be in great shape. And, you know, long-term conditioning over the course of 48 minutes and 82 games wears a guy down. So you have to prepare your body for that as well.
Tonight, see the veterans back in action?
Yeah, I think we'll mix guys in and out. And, you know, they need to get, you know, a good run. This would be a fun game. I'm looking forward to, you know, athletics and competition. And unfortunately, you know, with what's gone on here, I'm hoping that tonight can be, you know, a couple hours of entertainment and relief for those who live here and following the tragedy last weekend.
And certainly it's a great gesture on the part of the Kings and the Lakers and those responsible for the game that proceeds from tonight's ball game will benefit, hopefully, those who were victims of a week ago.
Well, the last part that Gary mentioned really, to me, seemed to be the theme of the night. It was an emotional night, obviously, in Las Vegas, as you'd expect. Just 1 week after the tragic shooting that took place in Vegas, the Kings, the Lakers, you had T-Mobile Arena, AEG, MGM Resorts, they all donated proceeds of the game that went directly to the victims, their families, and the first responders. It was clearly on the players' minds. If you guys follow some of the players on Twitter, Garrett Temple talked about how he was headed to the game in Vegas and couldn't stop thinking about what happened here last week. Said it was, quote, unconscionable. And it's just bizarre. I mean, bizarre to say the least as far as that situation. Then you're going to Vegas. You're trying to keep your mind on what you're doing as players, trying to also the escape of what sports is, of this harshness that we have in reality. And just to be a week later, I mean, it's just a weird feeling, I'm sure, for both. The other part of the game that, you know, the other part of just the whole situation is you just want to be there to highlight people, to highlight the people that the stories of people that have survived and the first responders and the incredible people that helped, taxi drivers, different people that took people to the hospital, and just the goodwill of people that were in the situation that survived but yet helped other Americans and people in general. Just amazing, some of the things that went on. So there was all the emotions of that going on. And with that said, I thought one of the great moments of the game, because this game was televised also on the radio, but the game was televised, and Magic Johnson from the Lakers kind of encouraged everybody just to be better.
I got to have everybody stand on up real quick. This is very important. If you could just lock arms with somebody, as the players are going to do the same thing, I'm going to move back and make sure I do the same thing here. And what I need to do right now to show that evil and hate will never win. So a moment of silence for all those people who lost their lives, all those who were injured, the first responders who did a tremendous job. So if I can have it completely silenced, please.
Magic also followed up that moment of silence. The stadium arena, T-Mobile Arena, went dark there. Everybody was quiet. It was a good moment, a powerful moment. And then Magic was also on TV on ESPN, kind of referring back to that and just saying how awful the whole situation was, but how they're trying to unite people instead of break people apart.
Spoke so eloquently before the game to this healing city. What was that moment like for you?
Well, I think it's a tough moment because, you know, when 58 people lose their lives just out having a good time and then, you know, what happened, it's very difficult for all of us to comprehend. And then we want to support the family members who lost a loved one. We want to support also those who are injured, who got hurt, who are probably still in the hospital or went home. And so we just want to say a prayer for them, support them. And also, you know, the first responders, you got the employees of all these hotels who helped out, the hospitals who are doing a wonderful job, and the doctors and nurses. But it's a difficult situation, but I don't want people to stop coming to Las Vegas. I don't want us to stop, you know, having a good time or looking over our shoulders. And then I want the country to come together. We gotta come together. A lot has been going on, floods and the massacre, of course, last Sunday. But we gotta find a way to come together, and that's why I wanted everybody to embrace and let's support each other.
So again, to me, those were some of the highlights of the night as far as off the court, right? The Kings in Vegas, supposed to be a showcase type of game. They've always done this. The game was added to the television picture, the national TV picture, so Kings fans, Lakers fans were able to see it. But that theme was in the forefront, also in the backdrop, the entirety of the night, just what had happened there a week prior. The other subplot of the night, Lonzo Ball hurt his ankle, so he was not playing against De'Aaron Fox. I know the media makes a lot of that. Those two guys will get their battles. It will happen, no doubt, going forward for years to come. But it didn't happen Sunday night in Las Vegas. Instead, it ended up being a ugly game in which the Lakers prevailed.
Cauley Stein just inside the three-point arc. Feeds a pass in the paint, and it was deflected and stolen by the Lakers. They've got numbers. Alley-oop set up. Behind the head throwdown by Larry Nance Jr. Kings trail 16-4 here in this early going. Fox with a drive to the rack, scores it as he went inside strong, wanted a foul call. He's hobbling as he heads back up the floor. There's a double clutch by Ennis to beat the buzzer, but his shot is no good. We've reached halftime.
Wow, what a move by De'Aaron Fox, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's the last time we see him tonight based on the way he ran back up the court, but what a spectacular move right in front of us.
Boy, he made an explosive move, and he got inside, and the Lakers were there to try and defend, and he was able to power his way around it and score it. Temple now starts to move toward the left angle. He frees up. Here's the jump shot for the lead. He's got the bucket, and the Kings are on top, 51-50. For the first time tonight for Sacramento to have the advantage. Here's Buddy Hield now. Drive and kick to Temple. Swings to the corner. Vince Carter for a corner three. He's got his third three-pointer of the evening. Vincenzo puts the Kings on top by a whopping 2 points. Their biggest lead of the ballgame at 56-54. Hill now hooks it over his shoulder to Zebo. He spots up for three.
Wow.
He's got his second triple of the ballgame. And there wasn't a moment of hesitation, Grant. He just caught that ball and released it.
You got Randolph tonight. You got the 40-year-old Vince Carter shooting threes like it's no problem at all.
And preseason game number three for Sacramento ends up in a six-point loss at 75-69. A night when shots just did not drop from the get-go. I don't know if there was any time tonight when the Kings actually shot better than 33-35% for the ballgame.
So let's look at the recap of how this one played out in my mind. Interesting developments to me in this one. It ended up being a 10-man rotation for Coach Yeager. So he took out several guys that just didn't give them an opportunity to play, which I agree with. I think that makes it easier in the preseason to look at different bodies. So basically a 10-man rotation for the night. You also had a situation in which the Kings shot the ball just terribly. I mean, it was an awful shooting night for the Sacramento Kings, and those things happen. But it was really from the get-go where they couldn't make shots, couldn't get any kind of rhythm going, only scored 11 points in the first quarter. They had 29 points at halftime. Kings were 4 of 20 from the floor in the first quarter, 1 of 6 from 3. Lakers, meanwhile, were shooting 56%, and the Kings were only down 11. Then you go to the second quarter. Kings missed their first six shots, shot 27% at halftime, and 2 of 13 beyond the arc. The worst part, as you heard in the highlight there called by the G-Man and Grant, De'Aaron Fox had a hard fall, then had his only basket, did not return in the second half, had a bandage around his midsection, just kind of ice after a hard fall. I don't think it's anything serious, but I'd be surprised if he plays against the Blazers on Monday. After three quarters, though, the Kings were right in the game, down 52-51, and then ultimately ended up losing the game 75-69. So we mentioned the coach going to a 10-man rotation. I would expect, with guys like Justin Jackson, Frank Mason, Malachi Richardson, and Yorgos Papayannis that did not play Sunday, to jump back into the rotation and play on Monday against the Portland Trail Blazers. The Kings' leading scorer, they only had two guys in double figures. Zach Randolph had 16. I thought that was a positive. What I didn't like about Zebo's game, 2 of 6 beyond the arc. He can shoot it a little bit, but 6 attempts for me, it's a little bit like DeMarcus Cousins, who became the better three-point shooter, one of the better ones on the team, but he also has such an amazing skill set inside the paint. You don't want to lose him from there too much. And so Zebo at 2 of 6, maybe a few too many attempts beyond the arc. He had 16. They had 12 from Garrett Temple. So, again, a couple of the veterans back in the mix helping out. And Vince Carter had 9. But as far as the young guys go, it just wasn't happening. Bogdanovich is being a little bit passive at this point. They're taking him slowly, but he wasn't very aggressive. 7 points, 3 assists, turned down some shots, even though he did attempt 10. Also, Scal, 0 points, 4 boards. And then Fox, in his 9 minutes, had just 3 points on 1 of 6 shooting. Buddy Hield did not shoot the ball well either, 2 of 11. So not shooting the ball well doesn't concern me. What did concern me is something that I brought up last week, in which Coach Yeager said he's worried about the team as a rebounding group, just collectively rebounding. You miss a lot of shots. You hope to get some offensive rebounds. The Kings did not. Out-rebounded by the Lakers, 49-37. The high rebounder was George Hill with 8. So we'll see if that becomes a season issue, but it is something that is on the front of the mind of Coach Dave Yeager. So all in all, to me, the better game was Friday, certainly against the Spurs. The Laker game was ugly. Kings didn't shoot the ball well, but you're also kind of thinking about the theme of the night, which we told you earlier, thinking about everybody in Las Vegas. Here's the week ahead, though, for the Kings. Monday night, they get the Portland Trail Blazers back at Golden 1 Center. Thursday and Friday, back-to-back to close out the preseason, in which they'll take on the Los Angeles Clippers on the road and then the Warriors at Oracle. Then there's some cuts to be made, roster to be trimmed down, and some finalization of rotations and everything they're going to want to do. I don't know if they have to finalize that, but I think Coach Yeager is going to have to kind of start to settle in on some guys getting production and minutes and groups he likes together. And we're not there yet. He's got still some time, some practices, and some more games to go. But they are halfway through the preseason, and the next 3 games will go quickly. Like I said, Monday, Thursday, and Friday, and then a week from Wednesday, it starts for the Sacramento Kings. All right, so that's another edition of Locked on Kings. We thank you for listening. Remember to get in on the Friday mailbag, jason.ross@cbsradio.com or at jasonross1140. Follow us on Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes. We thank you for doing that. We're back again tomorrow for another edition of Locked on Kings.
You are Locked on Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.